39 in just a moment. I want to talk to you this morning about probably an area that you read often during the Christmas season, but maybe you don't really have never heard a sermon on it. You know, normally I would be going probably into Luke chapter 2, and we would be talking about the birth of our Lord and all of that, and we are talking about the birth of our Lord today. However, before Jesus was born, something was taking place. And it was a mighty move of the Holy Spirit of God. And these verses that we're going to cover, they're incredible to me. So, you know, in 3 days, we'll celebrate the birth of our Lord and the one to whom there was no room for in the inn. And then, guess what? In just a few days, we will be moving into a brand new year, actually a brand new decade, into 2020. If there is a word from heaven that I believe with all of my heart you need to hear this morning, it's going to be the songs of Christmas that we're going to be covering. Because, you know, Christmas is indeed a celebration, but it's a celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? When God became man, the God-man, if you will, 100% God, 100% man, Emmanuel, God with us. What a glorious, wonderful day. So Christmas, as we already know, is really not about you, is it? No, Christmas is about what God has done for you, what he has done for me. Remember the angel of the Lord there at communion, and I'll share it from, what is it, Luke 2:11, when he cries out, the angel says, "For there is born unto you this day, in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Jesus is the Savior of the world. Amen? He came to seek and to save those that were lost. And as it says in 1 John, it says tells us that we know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him there was no sin. Thank God that our sins have been taken away. They are as far as the east is from the west. Amen? He was born to die for our sins. The one to whom there was no room for in the inn, he has saved us. Thank God for that. Someone once said this, each of us is an innkeeper who decides if there is room for Jesus. This might be the most boring sermon I have ever preached in this church. Or, if you're listening, if you're hearing what the Spirit has to say to each of us, this might be, this may be, the most important message that I have taught in all of 2019. For indeed, it is for 2020. May your hearts be open as we begin Luke chapter 1, verse 39, the songs of Christmas. And now Mary arose in those days, and she went into the hill country, and look how she did it, with haste to the city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. We know from last time, Zacharias, remember, he did not believe the angel Gabriel. And because he didn't believe and questioned God's ability, what happened to Zacharias? He was mute. He wouldn't be able to talk until the birth of John. John, who is John the Baptist, a forerunner of Jesus Christ. So here, the little teenage Mary, in verse 38, she believed the angel. And what did she say? She said, "Let it be unto me according to thy word." In other words, Mary believed the word of the living God. And now she rushes to Elizabeth's home. And Elizabeth, who was barren, who is no longer barren, is now with child. And look what happened. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And matter of fact, chapter 1, verse 15 tells us that John the Baptist, who is in the womb of Elizabeth, was also filled with the Holy Spirit at that time as well. Now that is unbelievable. Amen. What a glorious miracle that was. And so at Mary's greeting, what happened? Little John the Baptist, the forerunner, the one who was going to eat locusts and honey and wear the, you know, his outfit and all of that. He just leaped. And verse 44, when we get to it, it will tell us that he leaped with joy. Isn't that amazing? He was leaping with joy. And so Elizabeth now, she is filled with the Spirit of God. And by the power of the Holy Spirit that is living now upon her, look what she does. She delivers the first song, not only in the New Testament, but the first song of Christmas, of what we call Christmas today. And look what happened, filled with the power of the Lord. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, here's her song, speaking to Mary, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But watch this now. But why, she questions, why is this granted unto me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Elizabeth was blown away. Why? Because she was included in the Creator, in the Sustainer of the universe, the only living God, the Alpha, the Omega, in His plan. His plan. Is there anything greater than being part of God's plan? She was literally blown away. For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, oh, the babe, it leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she, that's Mary, blessed is she who believed. And here's the reason. Watch this now. For there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Mary was blessed for one reason. She believed by faith what the angel said unto her. And then she said again in verse 38, let it be according to thy word. Now listen carefully. Because Mary, the Virgin Mary, that little teenage girl, because she believed, she experienced the power of God, but more than that, she participated in the incredible plan of God, which was the plan of the ages. Amen? Think about that for a moment. I mean, what do you really want for Christmas? I want to participate in God's plan. Amen? What a glorious thing it is. Now listen to the song of Mary, the second song of Christmas here. It says, and Mary said, oh, my soul magnifies the Lord, or declares the greatness of the Lord. My soul, all everything that's in me, my mind, my will, and emotion. Listen, Mary is not to be worshipped. Mary is a worshiper. Amen? Just like we are. And it says, and oh, my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. Mary needed a Savior just like we needed a Savior. Amen? He says, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant, and behold, henceforth, all generations, till the end, all generations, it says, will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Thrice holy, actually. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And his mercy is on those who fear him for how long? From generation to generation. She said, oh Lord, has done great things for me, the mighty God. In other words, that word literally, the Hebrew, El Shaddai. The one who, there's nothing too hard for, he can create anything, anything. He is our God. And why? Because Mary believed God's plan. Drop down to verse 56. And Mary remained with her about 3 months, returned to her house. So she went back to Nazareth. She's a virgin, remember? And now Elizabeth's full time came to her to be delivered. She brought forth a son. And when her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. And so it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by name of his father, Zacharias. But his mother answered and said, no, he shall be called John. But they said to her, well, there's no one among your relatives who is called by this name. And so they made signs to his father and what he would have him called. And he, meaning Zacharias, the old man, the old priest, the one who is mute, if you will, Elizabeth's husband, asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, his name is John. So they all marveled, and look what happened. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed. 9 months, just like Gabriel said, amen? and his tongue was loosed, and he spake praising God. And now his father Zacharias, look what happened to him, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying. Now we come to the third song of Christmas. But listen carefully. This is a prophetic song, if you will, a song of prophecy. And listen to what he says. Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, meaning through Christ Jesus our Lord, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And as he spake, meaning God, he spake by his most holy prophets who have been since the world began. Do you know you can go really all the way back to, well, even Enoch, did he not prophesy that the Lord comes with 10,000 of his angels, amen, or his redeemed ones? Yes. So you can go all the way back to Enoch who walked with God. Man, and then you can go to Moses, and then you go to David and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, all the way down to Malachi. All the prophets spake of our Messiah, Jesus Christ, and that we should be saved from our enemies. Now, they thought it was going to be Rome, but no, it's from sin, death, and hell, the devil. Amen? And he says, and oh, save from all those that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham. Now, what was that oath that God promised to Abraham that was an everlasting covenant? It goes all the way back to what? Genesis 12:3. In you, Abraham, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Why? Because from him, all the way down through history, will come the Messiah. But actually, the verse that oath is from Genesis 22:18. Whenever Abraham took his only son, Isaac, the son of promise, up to the mount, and God told to offer him as a sacrifice. You know the story. And as Abraham set the wood and the fire and all that, and then he raised his hand to slay Isaac. And the angel stayed the hand of Abraham. Why did God bless Abraham? If you read the whole story, it's because he says, you obeyed me, Abraham. You believed in my plan that I had for you. You didn't even flinch, Abraham. And because of that, it says in Genesis 22:18, all the generations of the world would be blessed because of what you did, meaning the Messiah will come. Now, look at verse 74 with me. To grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, speaking of John the Baptist, now watch this, and you, my child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. Let me ask you a question. Is that a great plan? Yes. Is that God's plan? Was it created? Was that plan in the heart of God before the world was ever formed? Unbelievable. Your gift, this boy that is not even born, you're going to be the prophet to the highest of the highest. You're going to be the prophet to the Son of God. And your duty, your work that I've called you to do, you're going to be his forerunner. You're going to clear a path, not a roadway, but you're going to clear out the hearts of the people to prepare God, the God-man. Amen? That's what he did. And not only that, watch this, and to impart knowledge or give the knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins. That's a great word, loved one. Remission means to send away. It means to completely dismiss our sins. Just like I said earlier, they are now as far as the east is from the west. Amen? What a glorious thing. See, Jesus came to a lousy, broken, wicked, dark world. He was born here. Why? To pay for a debt that we could never pay. The sin of the world. Amen? Our sin. Yes, it says, and through, in verse 78, here it comes, the tender mercy of God, are literally the merciful, incredibly merciful heart of the living God. It says, with which the day spring from on high has visited us Who is a day spring upon high? Isn't that a beautiful word for Jesus? I mean, it's dawn, a new light. The light is finally coming. And guess what he's going to do? He's going to give light to those who sit in darkness of the shadow of death. He's going to do something else to guide our feet in the way of peace so the child, meaning John now, grew, became strong, and spirit was in the desert until the day of his manifestation to Israel. That is an incredible prophetic song. All about John, what John is going to do before he was ever even born. That was the plan of the living God. And not only that, Jesus, we know why Jesus came. We lived, even here we are before we were saved, we walked in darkness, didn't we? Yeah, we were dead in trespasses and sins. But boy, he has made us alive. And now you know what Jesus said in John 8:12, I'm the light of the world. He who follows after me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. That's who we are. That's the plan of the living God. Now, the birth of Jesus is the fourth song. That's Tuesday. Now, I want to move to the last song, or the fifth song of Christmas. I want you to go to chapter 2, verse 25. Are you still with me this morning? Okay, I have made application, so you have to listen up. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just, this man was devout, this man was doing something else. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now listen, that means he was waiting on God's plan, amen? He was waiting on the Messiah who was going to bring comfort to the world and comfort to his people. Now watch this. It says he was waiting on the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. What a plan. Can you imagine God? Listen, can you imagine God say, this is the plan I have for you? Simeon, you know what? You're a devout man. You're a just man. I know you're waiting on me. You know, the word Simeon means to hear. Amen? That means this. He was in the right place at the right time. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God had his ear. And there he is waiting. He didn't miss the plan of the living God. Verse 27, and so he came, watch, not by the flesh, not by his own wisdom. He came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, look what he did. He took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, and here's the song of Simeon, Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation. What a great song. What a great word. He says, I'm not ready to die. He didn't use that word. He says, I'm ready to depart now in peace. In other words, to depart means to untie and let one go free. In other words, I'm ready to go and be with the Lord forever and ever. Why? Because he's holding in his arms a promise from God to him. He's holding Jesus Christ, the Lord. A baby without sin. Loved one, listen to me. Salvation is a person. Amen? Salvation is a person. It is our Lord and our Savior, the one who was born of a virgin, the one who was born in a manger, a feed trough, the one who tasted death for everyone. That's why he came. The one they put upon a cross, the one who ascended to the right hand of God. Oh, listen, I'm so thankful that we know that. He says, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared, watch this, before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. I'm going to tell you, when he said that, it had to have blown Simeon away. Gentiles mean not the Gentiles are all people, amen, beside the Jews, every person on earth. We're Gentiles, loved one. Yes. And he said, oh, listen, not just a salvation for the Jews. I'm holding the baby in my very hands that will take away the sin debt of the entire world. He will pay for our sins. Amen. What a glorious, unbelievable song this is. It's actually a missionary song, isn't it? And he says, and Joseph and his mother, did you catch that? Joseph and his mother, not his father? No. Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken. Keep going with me now. Let's drop down to verse 34. We're going to go from singing to prophesying. Simon blessed him and said to Mary, his mother, oh, behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign, Mary, which will be spoken against. In other words, Mary, this baby, this sinless child of the living God, the Messiah of the world, he's going to be a great divider. He's going to be one that either they're going to love him or they're going to hate him. They're going to accept him or they're going to reject him. And yes, Mary, listen to what he says in verse 35, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, and the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. That's a heartbreaking scripture, isn't it? I mean, there they are, Mary, Joseph, Simeon. He's singing. He's giving the last song of Christmas, if you will. And he says, Mary, this little baby's going to break your heart. He is going to hurt you because he's going to be rejected. He's going to be despised. He's going to be betrayed. He is going to be a man of sorrows. What a sad word, but what a true word. He's going to bear our grief. Amen. Bear our sins and transgressions and iniquities. And Mary, this more than that, you're going to watch him. They're going to hang him upon a tree. They're going to crucify him. But it's not over then. Mary will see him rise from the dead. Amen. Mary will be in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. Yes. Now go to verse 36. We're nearly done, and I'm going to make application, so bear with me. Now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, a daughter of Phanuel, one of the tribe of Asher. She was of a very great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. So she only had 7 years of marriage because this woman was now a widow of about 84 years. Now watch what she did. Who did not depart from the temple, but served God, look at this, with fastings and prayers night and day. Now, she is there at the temple. She heard what Simeon had said. She is an old woman, an old widow woman. She's a widow woman who made her home now in the temple of God, never departing. And there she is, old but very active in the things of God. Amen. And there she's right in the plan of God. And look what happens. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord. And spoke of him, meaning Jesus the Messiah, spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Israel. And so the remaining verses, they left Mary, Joseph. They are now returning with the Lord to Nazareth. Now, with all that being said, very, very important, loved one, at the end of 2019, as we're now the rest of the week and we're going to be celebrating the birth of our Lord and giving thanks. But what I'm going to ask you, in those verses that I read to you, do you see it? Did you see what was there? Did you really see the true Christmas? Loved one, listen to me. I thank God for God's indescribable gift, Jesus Christ. Amen. 2 Corinthians 9:15. I thank God for that. I thank God that he took away your sin, my sin, and the sin of the world. John the Baptist cried out and said in John 1:29, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But what we need to do on this Sunday morning as we enter into the time to celebrate the birth of Christ, we need to learn from Elizabeth. We need to learn from Zacharias, her husband. We need to learn from Mary and Anna and Simeon. We need to learn from them because God just revealed unto us and to them the plan that God had for their lives. And I believe that will probably be the most important thing for you in 2020. Listen, what if I said right now, Merry Christmas. God has a plan for your life. Now think about that for a moment. We know that we love the Lord. We celebrate his birth. But I mean, if someone walked up to you, or the word of God just says, I have a plan for you, God's plan, don't you think we should be jumping for joy? I mean, to be in the plan of God, his plans are always perfect, loved one. You know, and I started thinking about that. You know, there's so many, they believe in God's gift, Jesus Christ. He's a gift to this world. Thank God. But they say, well, you know, I mean, I know that Emmanuel, God is with us. I know that, but I just don't know if I'm so sure about God's plan for me in my life. You know, when I went through all this was trying to just determine what God is speaking to my heart about, did you know that God has a plan for teenagers? Was Mary a teenager? What was she, maybe 14, 15, 16 years old, a teenager, but what did that little girl do? She believed God's plan. She believed what Gabriel said to her and also about her son who would be born. Think about that. That little girl believed. If you go through here and restudy of this, you know what you're going to find out? God has a plan for, if you're barren, women, you know what? God has a plan for you. If you're mute, well, you got in trouble. But God has a plan for you. He has a plan for widows. God has a plan for babies before they are ever even born. And I say, oh, Lord, young people, all people, listen. God's plan is your gift. Do you understand? It is God's gift to you. I'm going to, you know, I don't want to beat up Christmas. I mean, I'm not Scrooge or anything. But are you more joyous over presents or maybe his plan, the plan of the living God? You know, I've been asking kids, and what do you want? I want a new iPhone 11. I want EarPods. I want an Apple Watch. I want this. I want that. Okay, well, praise the Lord. But God has given a plan for your life. Do you want that? Do you want God's plan? The Bible says this in Jeremiah 10:23. Oh, Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Isn't that a true word? We put all these plans together, and God says, you don't even know how to direct your own steps without me. What did Jeremiah said about God's plan for Israel? It says, you know, in Jeremiah 29:11, God told Israel 70 years after the exile, listen to what God says, for I know the thoughts, or literally, I know the plans that I think toward you, saith the Lord, plans of peace, not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Listen, how can God give anyone a future if he doesn't know the plan? See, God knows the plan. It says in Psalm 33:10, the Lord brings the plans of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. Let's send that one to the Senate, shall we? And to the House. Or no, let's send it to Nancy. I don't want to be political on Christmas. Although I did send a lump of coal to her. No. The Lord, he brings the plans of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the people of no effect. Here it comes. The counsel or the plan of the Lord stands forever. The plans, plural, of his heart. Now listen to this last part. To all generations. The plans of his heart to all generations. God has a plan for every believer, every one of you, all of us, and they come from his heart, meaning the affectionate of his love. That's where they come from. That's a gift. God says, I have a plan for your life. Proverbs 19:21, there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's plans or counsel that stands. Listen, all of us are guilty of having a heart full of plans. Amen. Come on. We write down our plans. You know, we plan and we go, that didn't work. You know what I mean? Our heart is full of plans. But have you ever noticed in reality our plans are pretty pathetic? And they're very small. Yes, very small. But God's plan for you is unique. It is absolutely perfect. It's only for you. Every one of us, we have a different plan. I told a person the other day in counseling, I said unto them, I said, stop planning your life with the American dream. What's wrong? That we don't do that. I mean, do you understand? We could be in China. We could be anywhere in the world. Are you listening to me? But we're Christians no matter where we go. We don't want to start defining God's plan in our life by the American dream. In other words, oh, yeah, man, I'm going to marry this type of woman. Woo. You know, I'm going to marry this type of man. Yeah, you'll be in counseling 6 months later. But, you know, I'm going to be successful, the American dream. Nothing wrong with being successful. I'm going to have an incredible job because I'm going to work hard at 55. I'm going to retire and play golf the rest of my life. Well, okay. My kids are going to be all-star kids. Ugh. Perfect teeth. They're going to play video games 9 hours a day. I'm going to put them through the finest college. They're going to play video games 9 hours a day. Here's what I think. Here's what I believe. It is 2020. And the church must wake up. We need to wake up. I say this without, I love every pastor. I do. I love pastors. I know what they go through. And I know how hard they work and pray. But, you know, we're living in a time today when so many pastors, loved one, they get into the pulpit, and the expression I often use, you've heard me say it, they give longhorn sermons. You know what I mean? 2 points with a lot of bull in the middle. You know what I'm saying? And what do I mean by that? Well, the majority of the sermons from TV and all of it today is on how to have an easy, comfortable life in Christ Jesus. Isn't it? Come on. Absolutely. Now, here's the thing. Do you want me to tell you the true Christmas story, or do you want me to tell you a comfortable Christmas sermon? Yeah, the truth. Well, if you really want the truth, I want you to listen to me, the truth about Christmas, if you really want to get into Christmas, here's what you need to do. First of all, you need to go down and buy yourself a donkey. That's right. And you need to be a little teenage girl, maybe 14, 15, maybe even 16, but you need to be also 9 months pregnant, okay? And here's what you need to do. You need to get on that donkey, and you need to travel 90 miles from the other side. Let's say 90 miles. Waco is 85, so 90 miles. You need to get on the donkey and go from Waco, which would be, of course, you know, Nazareth, to Calvary Chapel. And Calvary Chapel, of course, would be Bethlehem, okay? It only takes you about 7 days. Now you finally arrive, and let me ask you a question. Do you think that Mary said, hey, Joseph, what is that in the background I'm hearing? And Joseph says, oh, that's Silent Night. Oh, that's joy to the world. Come on. No, the real Christmas, loved one. No, there was no room. And here they come, all that journey, there's no room in Calvary Chapel for them. They have to go out into the barn, and I don't mean the youth place. You know, they're going to lay their little baby in a feed trough. That's the reality of what it was really like. Listen, young people, everybody, listen, what if you woke up on Christmas morning? And if you have a tree, if you don't have a tree, I don't care if you want to have a pagan tree in your home. We'll have one in the lobby. But you wake up and you go there and there's not a gift there. Just one. Just one gift. And it is a gift from your Father. It is a gift from heaven. It is a gift from His heart to you. And you open up your gift and it says, here is my plan for your life. You're going to be a missionary. You're going to travel the world for me. Millions will come to Christ because of you. But you'll also be martyred for my name's sake. And you open up the gift and it says, oh, you will be a pastor or an evangelist or a prophet or a pastor, teacher. Or you open it up and it says, here is my plan for you. You're going to be a plumber. You're going to be the best plumber. And not only that, you're going to be a carpenter, or you're going to be a nurse, or you're going to work at a factory, or you're going to be a doctor or an artist or an author. You're going to be whatever. You're going to work at McDonald's all of your life. That's my plan for you. Or he may say, you open it up and it says, this is my plan for you. You're going to be a businessman because of me. And not only that, your business is going to make millions and millions and millions of dollars. And here's what you're going to do. I'm going to bestow upon you the gift of giving and the gift of mercy and the gift of helps. And you're going to help people all over the world because you got into my plan. Or you may open it up and read it and say, here is my plan for you. You're going to be like Paul. You're going to suffer for my name's sake. But Paul wrote 13-14 books of the New Testament. He said, for me to live is Christ. Listen to me. God has a plan for you. And it is an expression from his heart that loves you. And it says that God's plan for you stands forever. Meaning if you get into God's plan, I know you're saved. I'm talking about getting into the plan that he saved you for. It'll never, ever fail. Listen, I celebrate this week that God sent his only begotten son into this stinking, lousy, dark world to die for the sins of the world. And he came to his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him. Amen. He gave them the power to be the sons of God. That's what we are, the sons and daughters of God. And I thank God that Jesus came and he was born and he died for us, and that he tasted death and rescued us from sin, the slavery of sin, and that heaven is our home. But I tell you, I am thankful. I thank God that I was born. I didn't have to be born. He didn't have to let me come into this world. But I thank God that I was born, that I was given the gift of life, and now everlasting life. But I tell you what I thank God for. The plan that he gave for me. I'm thankful that I'm living, my wife, me, living out his plan. It is no longer I who live. I've been crucified with Christ. Remember what Paul says? I've been crucified. It's no longer I who liveth, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, loved one, listen. I'm thankful that I'm living God's plan out for my life. It says in Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we, meaning the church, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Listen, if God prepared works, good works, things that we need to do in this life beforehand, before we were ever born, before the world ever was, that means God has a plan for you. It means God has a plan for me. He never makes mistakes. The Bible says in Psalm 18:30, as for God, his way is perfect, meaning everything that God does is perfect. You say, well, Bill, I don't know that there's really a plan for me. Really? Listen to this scripture, Psalm 139:16, where David cries out, you saw my substance yet being unformed. The mass, the embryonic mass, if you will. Now listen to what David says. And in your book, O God, they are all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. Every day of your life, Jesus is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the ending. He knows everything. Your last breath, your first breath, he knows it all. Listen, this word in Psalm 139 just said that every day of our lives has been recorded in God's book before they were ever even taking shape. And everybody seems to be looking for a plan when God has a plan. Amen. Loved one, I'm going to ask you a question, honestly, because I see so many people, they don't get in God's plan, the church, so many believers. Are you excited to know that God has a plan for you? And if so, do you know God's plan? Did you know if you study the Word of God, He has a marriage plan? Did you know? He has a financial plan. He has a single plan. He has a child-rearing plan. He has a plan on forgiveness. Amen? He also has an eternal plan. God has a plan for your life. And not only that, now listen, if you step into it, then He gives you the power to fulfill His plan. You say, Bill, how do you know that? Because if you, will you bear with me? Let me just do this. Luke 1:15, John the Baptist, he was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. 1:35, Mary, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. Elizabeth, Luke 1:41, filled with the Holy Spirit. Zacharias 1:67, filled with the Holy Spirit. Simeon 2:25, the Holy Spirit was upon him. Simeon revealed by the to him by the Holy Spirit of God that he wouldn't see death. Simeon came by the Spirit in the temple, Luke 2:27. One more, Anna, the prophetess, Luke 2:36. Speaks as the Spirit moves. If there was only one gift underneath the tree, and it was God's plan, would you truly rejoice? Well, you know what, loved one? God has a plan for you. You don't need a New Year's resolution in 2020. You know what you need to do? You need to open it. Open His plan up. Do it quick. Right now. Start living. Start living right now. The adventure. How? You know how. Open your Bible. Romans 12, what, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself, what? A living sacrifice unto God, holy, acceptable. And be you not transformed, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove the perfect will of God for your life. Amen? You want to get in God's plan? Let me tell you how easy it is. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, He said this, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Don't live for yourself anymore. Deny himself. He said, take up the cross daily and come after me. Come and follow me. You want to find the will of God, the plan of God? Matthew 7:7, seek and ye shall find, Jesus said. Oh, loved one, listen. No. You know what? Whenever Paul on the Damascus Road, when Jesus appeared to him and he was blinded, what did Paul say in Acts chapter 9, verse 6? He, blind, standing before, he said, who are you? He said, I am Jesus that you're persecuting. And Paul said this, what do you want me to do? What is your plan? What is your plan for me? Going to Damascus. You'll be told what I want you to do. Loved one, listen. You're not living until you get into the plan of God. You can be successful in every area of your life, but inside something's missing. I know. I've been there. And until I stepped into God's plan, I did not have that peace, even though I was saved. But the moment I went into the plan, everything changed. See, God has a plan for each and every one of you. Listen, let me just read a scripture. I know it's time to go home and get whatever we do. Colossians 3. If you were raised with Christ, here it comes. Seek those things which are above. That sounds like a pretty good plan. Amen? Listen to that. Seek those things which are above. Where Christ is. He's seated at the right hand of God. Seek Christ. That's where He is. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. There's two areas every believer can set their minds upon, either things in heaven or things upon the earth. The earth is passing away. Amen. He says, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will appear with Him in glory. Oh, that is our future, loved one. That is the plan of God. Heaven is our home. If you're not here on Tuesday night for the communion, that will be my last time to be with you this year. I bid you a happy new year, a blessed Christmas, and safe travels in all that you do. It's been a privilege for Becky and I to serve you and work alongside of you in 2019. It's nearly been 3 decades. What a glorious time it's been. From my home to yours, as I always say, from all the Calvary staff, for all every servant leader, pastor, elder, deacon, we bid you a wonderful Christmas. May the presence of Christ fill your heart on that day. In Jesus' name. Father, we praise you and we thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, you have a plan, a perfect plan, a perfect, perfect plan for every one of us. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that when 2020 hits, they get into your plan and quit running from you, Lord. I love you. I praise you. We give you glory and honor. Thank you for sending Jesus Christ into this world for us. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church says,